techtalk@newstalk.com, as ever, is the email address if you want to get in touch, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Before the break, I brought you my conversation with Apple. If you want to listen back to that or anything from the show, you can do so right now on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Tech Talk. Now, one of the stories we have focused on extensively on this program over the last number of weeks is the social media addiction trial that's taking place in the US. Last week, I brought you up to speed with what we heard from the CEO of Instagram, and this week saw Mark Zuckerberg testifying before a jury. This was significant. There were plenty of learnings from it, I'm sure, from all sides. But we, the audience, who are watching with great interest, learned an awful lot. It's worth noting here, actually briefly, cameras are not in the court, so we are relying on the reporting of journalists who are there. And thankfully, there are brilliant journalists who are putting the information out, giving a sense of not only what they're seeing and what they're hearing, but the overall atmosphere as well. So I want to take a quick minute to just run you through what we learned this week. So firstly, this was the first time that Mark Zuckerberg testified before a jury, specifically on allegations that Meta products harm children. He's appeared before Congress many times, but this setting is fundamentally different because a jury can impose direct legal and financial consequences. Also, it's different because when he has appeared before Congress, there's no doubt that he has been put through training, been given an idea of what the questions will be, how to answer. He can defer, he can say, we'll get back to you, or whatever it may be. This is a completely different environment, and the agenda of the plaintiffs was very clear from the very outset of this case. When he was on the stand, Zuckerberg rejected the idea that Meta designs Instagram to be addictive, particularly for younger users. He repeatedly returned to a single theme, and that was utility, not compulsion. They want to make it as useful as possible. It's not about that compulsion to use it. He told jurors that Meta's goal is to make products that people find useful, arguing that if a product harms users, they will ultimately stop using it. He said he's not trying to maximize the amount of time people spend on Instagram, pushing back on that framing of addiction entirely. On the topic of under 13 users, Mark Zuckerberg acknowledged enforcement challenges, but he stressed that Instagram formally bans children under 13 and removes the accounts when they are identified. He described age verification as difficult because a meaningful number of people lie about their age. He also emphasized Meta's investment in parental controls, teen safety tools, and content restrictions, arguing that these demonstrate a good faith effort by the company to protect younger users. But the most damaging moments for Zuckerberg came when the plaintiffs confronted him with internal emails and documents from his own company from 2014 to 2016. In one widely cited email, Mark Zuckerberg wrote about goals to increase time spent on Meta platforms by double-digit percentages. Under questioning, he acknowledged writing the email but said it reflected earlier thinking and that Meta has since moved away from time spent targets in favour of broader measures of value. The plaintiff attorney, Mark Lanier, argued that when the CEO of a company outlines such goals, they inevitably shape corporate behaviour. Zuckerberg again countered these documents, asserting that they were brainstorming and not binding mandates, and that the strategy of the company has evolved. The jury has now seen internal materials, and their interpretation of intent versus evolution may be pivotal in this case. A reoccurring fault line in this trial, as we mentioned on the show last week, is the definition of addiction itself. Zuckerberg echoed the earlier testimony from Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram, and he avoided saying the term, suggesting that the science around social media and mental health is inconclusive. Meta has pointed to external research that does not establish a clear causal link between the platform use and mental health harm at a population level. The plaintiffs are arguing that this misses the point. Their case is not about average users, but about known vulnerable groups, children and teens being exposed to design features like the infinite scroll, notifications and algorithmic recommendations. The legal analysts are saying that a verdict against Meta would not simply mean damages in this case. It could weaken the entire industry's long-standing reliance on Section 230 and open the door to similar lawsuits being decided by juries rather than being dismissed. And that is why we are going to continue to watch this case as it evolves over the coming weeks. But I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. There was another point that took place outside of the court, but I wanted to sort of reference it once again. I mentioned it to Claire Byrne earlier in the week, but as Mark Zuckerberg was walking into the court, there were an awful lot of cameras around him, news cameras, and indeed he had his entourage around him, many of whom were wearing the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. They are the smart glasses with two cameras on either side of the front of the lenses. And according to reports, when they entered the court, the judge said, if you have captured any video content on those glasses on the way in or in the court, you must delete them or I will hold you in contempt of court. Which is just fascinating to me that firstly, they think it would be an okay thing to do. And secondly, that the judge called it out. I think it was great to see the judge doing so. But we will, of course, bring you updates as and when they happen on this case. As I said, I'm absolutely glued to it at the moment. As always, I'd love to hear from you. Techtalk@newstalk.com. Right, moving along. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio now by Patrick Doyle of Planify.ie. And Patrick, I am thrilled you're here because I have been looking at the platform. It's completely up my street. I'm very interested to know more. So for those who haven't encountered it yet, what is the idea? What is the vision with Planify.ie?
Planify is a new platform related to planner permission and property intelligence in Ireland. What it's offering at the moment is, I suppose, free pre-planning reports to help people basically understand what's been successful and unsuccessful in their area. So it's AI-driven and it's a good assistance tool to give them an overview of what they can and can't do.
And I've said this on the show before, but we bought a house about 18 months ago. And one of the first things that I did was go on to the local council's website and try and see in terms of planning applications, what was, you know, being looked for, what's been approved in the last wee while. And I don't think I'm unkind in saying that some of those platforms can be very tricky to try and navigate and find the information you're looking for. Was that the impetus for this, or what was the sort of the key driver to get this going?
The key driver to get this going is actually a bit of a longer story. So I had some friends who needed a hand with regards to planning permission. So I actually put up a blog website that was a tutorial on planning permission in Ireland, planningpermissionireland.ie. And I put up an AI chatbot, and that was retrieving answers from regulations, local development plans and so on. And over the course of a year, that chatbot had over 100,000 users.
Wow.
It did over 3 million organic search impressions on Google, which obviously led me to see that there's a need for better data transparency and help. Yeah.
Wow. So what's your own background that you were able to just whip that up?
So I have a unique background. So I was actually in construction management and I went back to college to study software engineering.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was kind of a two worlds colliding.
Brilliant. And so clearly then there was the appetite for this information. Once you knew that there was that will and want from the end user, how did you go about making it into Planify as it is today?
So it was a slow evolution. I didn't build it with any intention of turning it into a product. My initial intention was to help homeowners. So it started off with having a look at what data sets are out there, what we can do with them, and how we can deliver information to people for based on their communities and see what we can help with.
And so did you go out and do, you know, like polls and research and that kind of stuff to gain that? Or how did you build up that level of insight that you knew that you were onto a winner here?
So through the original domain, which was the blog site, which is still up now. I've switched off the chatbot since because it was costing. But through there, we ran a couple of polls. We could see from questions that people were asking, right down to the level of the homeowner. Believe it or not, we even had planning executives in council departments asking questions with the chatbot and using it. So we developed a really good understanding of what people needed help with. So Planify Now is a work in progress. We're building it out. And obviously through New Frontiers and Enterprise Ireland, it's been really helpful.
So talk to me about when you go to, firstly, what is the website? If people want to go to it right now, where do they go?
So planify.ie, it's a free platform. You can log in. You'll have a personalised dashboard that's local to your area, and you'll see all the activity that's happening in your area. You can get alerted on activity in your area, as well as generating pre-planning reports to give you assistance. So planify.ie.
Okay, great. And as you said, it's free. So you can go to the website right now, put in your air code, and you get that dashboard, and you can see the activity that's going on. In terms of collating the information that feeds this, that's all information that's just freely accessible, and you're essentially collating it together.
Yeah, that's correct. Everybody knows that we have serious bottlenecks in our system, and the data is quite fragmented. So if you're PDF hopping or you're opening 50 tabs to research a particular area, we've tried to pull a lot together. So we're using different data sets, whether it's from planning data, the BCMS or commencement data, property sales through the PPR.
Okay. And just give the case scenario here of why somebody would come to the website. What can you tell me about the area that I've just bought my house in?
It depends on what you were looking to do. If say, for example, you were looking for an attic conversion or an extension or was a self-build, you can learn an awful lot from what has been successful, and probably more important, what's been unsuccessful.
Okay, so you know that this was approved 2 years ago or whatever it may be. So this is kind of a template then for me to put in my application. Are you afraid that this could be used, because we're hearing an awful lot about the NIMBYism? So are you afraid that people will utilise the platform to get the heads up on things and then get the old objection into the councils?
Yeah, so my background is in construction, and I'm very much pro-build. I would like to think not. I think that the NIMBYs will find a way anyway. Mm-hmm. They will get access to the data that they need to prepare an objection or whatever the case is. So I'm looking at this as data transparency is a positive thing, and that we're looking to help homeowners or builders or developers rather than prevent them.
Yeah. And in terms of the business, you mentioned there about the Enterprise Ireland and the New Frontiers programme. What's the goal and the ambition with the business? Do you have your eyes on a certain prize in terms of whether it's members or landmarks that you want, or landmarks that you want to reach in terms of the business journey?
Yeah. So what it started out with was a free platform and a genuine help or a genuine belief that we could help homeowners. Mm. What's transpired now is that I believe there's more in it. We can interpret the data with AI in a way that wasn't possible before. And yeah, so we're looking at an enterprise solution now, which is where Enterprise Ireland New Frontiers has helped out massively. And we're working with a small number of property developers, planning consultants and architects at building out an enterprise solution.
And what would that entail?
Basically an AI-driven planning intelligence platform, where we are using similar or the same data, but we're digging deeper into the planning documents for trend analysis, site feasibility reports, and so on. Yeah,
that's cool. And is this something that could be rolled out in other countries and other jurisdictions, or is it unique to Ireland given the way that our data is available on council sites and all the rest?
Yeah, it's scalable. So Ireland is a great proven ground because of the fragmented data, but obviously, the UK system is very similar to what we have, where we have 31 planning authorities in the UK. Obviously, there's over 300. It can be used elsewhere as well.
That's deadly.
Yeah, Australia, Canada.
Okay, well, look, the website again is planify.ie, planify.ie. If you go on it and see what you think, as I said, I put the air code of my house in and I could see exactly that. I could see the extensions that people put on. I learned that you can't do an attic conversion in my house, which is devastating. You could also kind of broaden the scope out as well. So depending on whether I just wanted to focus in the immediate radius, I could set it up so that I could get alerts if and when something comes up. I think it's a fantastic platform. And again, not from... a NIMBYism point of view, but just an area and a region development point of view to see what's coming down the track. I think it's really, really interesting. So if you go on, have a go. And if you do have any thoughts or feelings, I'm sure you can get on to Patrick, or you can email us techtalk@newstalk.com and I will pass them all your way. Patrick, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, that's Patrick Doyle of Planify.ie. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll take a closer look at the updates to social media regulation in this country, and I'll answer your tech questions.